Put your hymn book and turn to page 87 in your hymn book. The title of the message today is Joy to the World, Joy to the World. Do you know who wrote that song? Isaac Watts wrote that song. You know what year it was? 1719. That was before we were born, most of us at least. 1719. But wait a minute. Do you know? Listen to this. Do you know who composed the music to this song? A man by the name, are you ready for this? A man by the name of Lowell Mason. L-O-W-E-L-L Mason. Can you believe it? What year? 1839. Joy to the world. The Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. You know, it seems like at Christmas time, people are taking steroids. I don't know what it is, but I mean, if you don't watch out, you get run over. People last week were just beeping the horn behind me. They were in a hurry to get to the shopping malls. I mean, they'll just run flat over. But you know what I've noticed too? In January, it's like the January blues coming in January. December, everybody's hyped up for Christmas, but then January is like flat as a pancake. That way, he wants us to experience him and have his resurrection power all the year. And speaking of being hyped up and speaking of that, I saw a man about a week ago, a little over a week ago. This man doesn't come to New Rocky Creek Baptist Church. He goes to another church. He's 73 years old. He told me that he had just had open heart surgery not too long ago. Listen to this. He said the doctor told him, he said he handed him a handful of pills in his hands. He said, you know what those pills were, preacher? I said, no, what were those pills? He said, Viagra. I said, really? How many know what Viagra is? They were Viagra. I said, well, finish the story. He said, the doctor told me to come back, 73 years old, been married 48 years. He said, the doctor told me to come back in 2 weeks. And he said, I went back in 2 weeks, and the doctor said to me, this true story, he said, the doctor told me, he said, well, how do you, what do you think about them pills? And this man who was talking to me said, man, he said to the doc, he said, those are the best sleeping pills I've ever taken. True story. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. And may I share with you today four reasons why you ought to rejoice today, four reasons why we ought to return to the Lord that loves us, four reasons why we ought to rededicate ourselves to this living God, the Christ of Christmas, and four reasons why we ought to renew our strength today and reclaim the ground given over to the enemy. The reason I ask you to turn to the page 87 in your hymn book is because the Lord quickened my heart. Never preached a message before. Four stanzas have to do with the four points, main points in the outline. First, joy to the world. The Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Point number one. The first reason why you and I ought to rededicate ourselves, reclaim the ground, be renewed in our heart, return to the Lord that loves us. The first reason is let earth receive her King. There's a second reason in this particular hymn. In chapter, well, in hymn number 87. Not only let earth receive her King, but joy to the world, the Savior reigns. That's the second reason. The second stanza. Let the Savior reigns. There's a third stanza in this song. We didn't sing it this morning, but there's a third stanza. No more let sins and sorrows grow. That's the third reason why you and I ought to return to the Lord who died and rose again and is coming again. And then there's a fourth reason found in the very last stanza of this hymn, namely, joy to the world. And it's the fourth stanza which says, if you'll notice, joy to the world, he rules the world with truth and grace. I want you to take your Bibles along with me and turn to Psalm chapter 98. Do you realize that this man, Isaac Watts, when he wrote that hymn, he was inspired by Psalm chapter 98. Psalm 98, and if you would stand to your feet as we read a few verses out of Psalm 98. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. I'm reading from Psalm chapter 98 in your hymn, in your Bible book. Somebody said there's three books that every Christian ought to have: a Bible book, a hymn book, and a pocket book. In chapter 98 of the book of Psalm, verse 1. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath begotten him the victory. The Lord hath made known his salvation. His righteousness hath he openly showed in the sight of the heathen. He hath remembered his mercy and his truth toward the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. All the earth, make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. Sing unto the Lord with the heart, with the harp and with the voice of a psalm, with trumpets and sound of cornet. Make a joyful noise before the Lord, the King. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Let the floods clap their hands and let the hills be joyful together before the Lord, for he cometh. Notice. He cometh to judge the earth. With righteousness shall he judge the world and the people with equity. Father, I ask now for the anointing of the Holy Spirit on the word, the messenger. We pray for a fresh cleansing in my heart. And thank you now for the word. This has life-giving power. May it go forth and change us from glory to glory. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. You may be seated. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. Let earth, point number one is this, let earth receive her King. Let earth receive her King. I want you to take your Bibles and turn to Revelation chapter 19. If you notice over in the book of Revelation 19, let earth receive her King. In the book of Revelation chapter 19, you'll notice here is a great comparison. I don't know if you've ever done a study in the book of Matthew chapter 2, but there are two kings presented in this Christmas story, namely Herod the king, the great, and then the king of the Jews, Jesus. Everybody knows that Jesus came to earth as a king, that is a king to the Jews. However, the Jews rejected him as king, and therefore, listen to me, later in God's providential consummation of human history, Jesus will return as the King of Kings and as the Lord of Lords. He will, listen to me, he will inaugurate his kingdom found in Revelation chapter 20. But before that, in this battle of Armageddon, he'll return as king. Let earth receive her king. You notice Herod came from the lineage of Esau, and yet Jesus came from the seed of David. And if you are one who studies your Bible, you know that Esau's descendants are the present-day Palestinians. And if you find the progression through Scripture, you find out that Herod's descendants, which are Esau, which later turned to be Edom, which now is in present-day Petra of Jordan, you'll notice that Herod's descendants are the Amalekites that came against God's people, the Jews. Every time you see them in Scripture, they're coming against God's people. It was not only the Amalekites in the book of Exodus 17 that fought against Israel, but there are other examples, Amalek the king and the Amalekites that God told Saul to annihilate, eradicate them. And then we follow through. A man by the name of Haman was also an Edomite, or from the descendants of Esau. And then finally we come to Herod. All right? But then on the other hand, if you notice this comparison between the Lord Jesus, two kings. One wanted power. Herod, he was concerned about himself. Built the most magnificent buildings ever known in human history. But what did he leave? He left nothing. A rubble of buildings that are almost just decimated. And yet on the other hand, Jesus left a lasting legacy. No telling how many millions and billions and trillions of people have been changed by this King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In the book of Revelation chapter 19, we began reading in verse 11. And John said, I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes are a flame of fire, on his head are many crowns. He hath a vesture, a name written that no man knew but he himself. He was clothed in a vesture dipped in blood. I'm reading from verse 13. And his name is called the Word of God. And notice, the armies which are in heaven followed him. That means me, that means you, thanks be to God. The armies in heaven, if you're a blood-bought, blood-washed child of God, if you've been saved by the grace of God, you are part of the family of God, namely the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice verse number 13 again. He was clothed in a vesture dipped in blood. His name is called the Word of God. And the armies, verse 14, in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, out of the Lord Jesus, the King of glory. He comes back not for his church, but with his saints. Notice, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, with which he should smite the nations, and he shall rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture, on his thigh, a name written. Somebody help me. King of kings, Lord of lords. He's coming. Let earth receive your king. Let earth receive our King. King Jesus will indeed one day come back again as the King of Kings and as the Lord of Lords. But I want you to know there were some that were not happy when he came the first time. Herod was not a happy camper. In fact, he was trying to kill all the babies. Why? He wanted all the glory. He wanted to have the preeminence. He wanted to be number one. And not only that, but there were others who were not happy. The Pharisees were not happy, and the religious crowd of that day were not happy about Jesus being born. But however, on the other hand, there were many that were celebrating. And who were that? The shepherds were celebrating. Mary and Joseph were glad Jesus was born. I'll tell you others that were. Those three wise men, or at least we know there are three, could be more, that came and followed the star. Oh, they were happy when they saw the Lord and presented him. I want you to know there are others in the Bible that were happy when Jesus came. You know who they were? I'll tell you who was happy. There was a Gadarene demoniac who was possessed with a legion of demons, and nobody could tame him. Nobody wanted anything to do with him. He was a wild man. And yet when Jesus showed up, he showed out. And the Word of God says he cast out those demons. How many believe that he's still got power over demons? How many believe that Jesus can still save from the uttermost to the guttermost? He said to that man that had 6,000 or more demons, he said, come out of that man. I want you to know that Gadarene demoniac was happy that Jesus came. He said, Jesus, that is, to that man, he said, go home and tell great things, great things, great things God has done. Has God done some great things in your life? Has God been good to you? As we heard a moment ago, oh yes, he has. No wonder that man sat clothed in his right mind. He was happy Jesus came. I'll tell you somebody else that was happy that Jesus came. Not only was he happy, what about that woman that had spent all the money she had? She had been sick for 12 years and hemorrhaging. She went to this doctor, no doubt, and that doctor, Obama health care, couldn't help her. Can I get a witness in the house? Obama couldn't help her. Nobody else could help this dear woman. But she said, if I could just yet but touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be whole. And praise God, she was happy Jesus came. She touched the hem of his garment, and Jesus said, virtue went out. He said, woman, thy faith has made thee whole. She was happy. She was healed. I believe God's still in the healing business. Hallelujah. How many believe today? How many need God to do a healing in your heart, a healing in your soul, a healing in your family? You want to know who else was happy? I'll tell you who else was happy. There was a blind man who was sitting by the roadside. His name, blind Bartimaeus. He's sitting over there broken down on life's highway. highway. Have you ever been broken down on life's highway? I've been broken down on life's highway. There's some of us today that are broken down on life's highway. Some things have happened. We've been troubled. We've been depressed. We've been down. We've been disturbed. We've got anger in our heart. We've got anxiety on our mind. Oh, but that blind man said, Son of David, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus said, what would you have me to do? I want to see again. I want to see, said blind Bartimaeus. And Jesus said, thy faith has made thee whole. He left his coat, that is blind Bartimaeus, but he got his eyesight. I'm telling you, there were some that were happy that Jesus showed up. And I'll tell you what else. You know, there was a man over there in the Gospel of John chapter 4. His name, the nobleman. The word nobleman is the word Basileia. He was an important, prominent figure. And let me tell you what happened. There was a boy, namely his son. He came to Jesus. How many believe that when we bring our children, our grandchildren, our family to Jesus, he can help them? Oh, they can help them. That nobleman came in John chapter 4, and Jesus did a distant healing. Jesus said to that man, go thy way, thy son liveth. And at that very hour when he said it, that boy was healed. That nobleman was happy. And the Bible says he and his whole household were gloriously saved and converted. I want to tell you who else was happy that Jesus showed up. I'll tell you who was happy. In John 5, there was a man that was a paralytic for 38 years, laying by the pool of Bethesda, waiting for somebody to help him in the pool. When the angel came, supposedly the stirring of the pool happened, and if you got in the pool, you were automatically healed. Jesus showed up and said, man, will thou be made whole? He said, I don't have anybody to help me in the pool. Jesus, I like what he said. He said, I don't have to help you in that pool. Just take up your bed and walk. And that man was gloriously healed. Oh, yes, he was. He was happy. He went away rejoicing. Rejoice. Why? Joy to the world. The Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Zacchaeus, that is, in Luke chapter 19, he was happy that Jesus showed up and went to his house, and he was gloriously saved. I want to tell you, somebody else was happy that Jesus showed up. I was happy Jesus showed up. I'm glad he showed up at this old door right here. I'm glad that he knocked on this old door and said, son, you don't have to go to hell. You don't have to be a lost forever. You can be saved. And it was back in 1982 that Jesus showed up and he forgave and knocked on this old heart and said, I'll make you my child and I'll give you a home in heaven. I'm glad that he showed up. Are you glad? Oh, bless his holy name. Yes. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. We were going to sing that song, Silent Night, Silent Night. And it reminded me of the story of that little boy. He was singing the song. Sometimes we get the words mixed up. Silent night, holy night. All is calm, all is bright. Round you and virgin, and mother and child, holy infant. And you know the song. Sleep, the last part says this, sleep in heavenly peace. Sleep in heavenly peace. A little boy got it mixed up and he said, sleep in heavenly beans. B-E-E-N-S. His sister punched him and said, it's not beans. It's not sleep in heavenly beans. It's sleep in heavenly peas. P-E-A-S. Sometimes we get mixed up on the song, but I'll tell you what, Jesus showed up. Has he showed up in your life? Do you need him to show up today? I believe there's some of us today that say, let earth receive her King. There's a second standard of this song, and it's this. There's a second reason why you ought to rejoice today, why we ought to be renewed today, why we ought to return to the Lord today, why we ought to reclaim the ground the devil's taken right now. And while we don't want to rededicate our lives to the Lord, you know what it is? Joy to the world. Look at the second stanza. The Savior reigns. The Savior reigns. Well, does it really reign? Look in chapter 20 of the book of Revelation. hey, right now it doesn't look like Jesus is reigning. It looks like the devil's reigning. You just turn on the television, you see killing and stabbing and lying and cheating and all kinds of sin and all kind of wickedness. It doesn't look like Jesus is reigning, but he is reigning. I've got good news for you. He's ruling, he's reigning. And in the book of Revelation chapter 20, the word of God says, John, who was exiled on the Isle of Patmos, John, elderly, up in the age, John said, I saw an angel descend, come down from heaven with a key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he took a hold of the dragon, that old devil, the serpent, that devil, and cast him into the bottomless pit. And for 1,000 years, there John's telling us this, one day Jesus is going to reign, sit on his throne for 1,000 years. We call that the millennial reign, whereby he establishes the Abrahamic covenant. That is, he promised in the Old Testament he's going to fulfill it. When God says he's going to do something, he's going to do it. And he's not only going to fulfill that Abrahamic covenant, but he's going to fulfill that Davidic covenant. And he's going to fulfill that new covenant and that land covenant. You watch. He reigns. Let our Savior reigns. I want you to know how I know he reigns. You know how I know he reigns? He reigns over the wind. He reigns over the waves. He's got a way of stepping out in your life. Can you hear me today? I said he's got a way of stepping out on the choppy waters of your life. You've had trouble on your mind. You've got problems on your heart. You've got things you can't fix. Jesus can step out on the waves of your life. He can step out and say, peace. Be still. You need him to do that today. I know you need him to do that today. You're acting like everything's okay, but really, we need him to reign in our life. Jesus, rule and reign in your sovereignty. Reign in your majesty. Reign in your glory. Tell me, is he reigning in your life? Oh, the Savior reigns. I know he reigns when I can stand by bedside like Friday night and yesterday of one of our dear own, Sister Joyce Cooper, and say, praise God, oh death, where is your sting? As I watch her run a race, as I watch her fight the good fight, as I see this terrible thing that's happened to her and God is preparing to take her on home, I say, Lord, to be absent from the body, present with the Lord. I know you reign. I know you've conquered death. You've overcome the grave. We can sit here and say, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. I want you to know, child of God, one day you and I will have to cross over this chilly death's waters called death. I hope you're ready for it. I said every Sunday, it might be the last time you have a chance to worship God. Can you hear me? If this doesn't wake you up and startle you and shock you, I don't know what will. I'm telling you, we are not promised of tomorrow. We don't know. We've got to seize the moment and make the best of the opportunity we've got. The Savior reigns. The Savior reigns. How many of you have ever read this book? Bret Hart has written a book called, I haven't read it, but I read about it, The Wild, Wild West. And the title of the book is The Luck of Roaring Camp. Has anybody ever read that? According to the report I read about this book, The Luck of Roaring Camp, there's some of the meanest, toughest, roughest men you would ever know living in this particular camp called the Camp of Luck of Roaring Camp. And these men are rough miners. And there's only one lady that lives in this camp. Her name is Cherokee Sal. And these men are just tough and rough and rugged and just mean. Well, this lady named Cherokee Sal, she did the best thing that she could, Cherokee gal. She got pregnant. Nobody knew who the daddy was. She was making a living in that way, and she became pregnant. Nobody knew who the daddy was, but time came for her to bear a child. In the process of childbearing, she died and left this camp of mean, rough, rugged men with no mama. One little baby girl in this camp. They wondered what they would do. And they put her in a box, this little baby, and put rags around this baby in the box. One man said, we can't leave her there. That's not fit for a baby. I'll travel 80 miles up the road and get a rosewood cradle. And he went and bought a rosewood cradle, brought it back, put that little baby in a rosewood cradle. But they looked at that rosewood cradle with rags in it, and they said, we can't leave those rags in there. That's not fit for a baby. And so one other man said, well, I know what I'll do. I'll go get some silk and get other nice items to put in the cradle. And so the man got some silk and put the little baby in the rosewood cradle and wrapped up that little baby. These rugged and rough and mean men. And then they looked and they said, we can't leave this baby in a rosewood cradle and the silk. They looked at the floor. It was dirty. They said, we got to do something about this. These grown men, robust, mean. They got down on their hands and knees, began to wash the floor, scrub it, spotless. They washed the walls, they washed the ceiling, they washed everything around it. And then they said, you know what? We can't live in this town like this and act like heathens and fight and cuss and drink and carouse and raise Cain. We can't live like that around a little baby. A baby needs rest. So they stopped drinking and stopped cussing and stopped fighting. And they started saying, you know, we got a baby in the camp. And then they said, you know what? The camp really doesn't look conducive for a baby to be here. Let's plant some flowers. And so they planted some flowers around the camp. And they began to change their language. They got some soap and they started taking a bath and started shaving and cooing with that little baby. And one thing after another, there was a change that took place. Those mean and rugged men changed. They were changed by a baby. One baby changed that whole camp. I want you to know, in parallel, there was a baby that came. That baby was Jesus, the Son of God, became the Son of Man, that the sons of men might become the sons of God. It was one baby 2,000 years ago that came and changed human history, and has been changing it ever since. What a change Jesus makes in your life. What a change Jesus makes in your heart. Joy to the world. The Savior reigns. Then the third stanza says, joy to the world. No more let sins and sorrows grow. Well, what's he talking about? Isaac Watts, what do you mean by this third stanza? What do you mean, no more sins and sorrows grow? You're right in Revelation 20. Look at Revelation 21. The only time this is going to happen, beloved, is in the near future. John says, one day, and I'm telling you, it's getting closer. It's getting closer. It's closer than it's ever been. I do believe it's closer than it's ever been. And John said, one day, Revelation 21, there's not going to be any more death. I stood at the bedside of Sister Joyce Cooper yesterday at the hospital, waited for the funeral home to come and pick up her body. And I was thinking about this particular verse, no more sin, no more death, no more sorrow, oh, no more tears. John said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away. I saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, descending out of heaven like a bride adorned for a husband. Brother and sister, I got good news for you. We got somewhere to look forward. We might spend eternity, namely heaven. Have you read Revelation 21 and 22 lately? You need to. Why? Read about the walls of Jasper. Read about those walls, the foundation. I met my daughter up in Covington a few days ago. I was at the hospital and I dropped by Covington. She wanted to go by the jewelry shop. How many know what I'm talking about? It's that time of the year. We were looking at some of the jewelry, rings and stuff. She said, I like that sapphire right there. How many know what a sapphire is? Do I need to teach some of our men folk about a sapphire? It's a blue color. You know what I read over there in Revelation? That a sapphire, that's going to be, and I want you to know that I looked at the price of that sapphire and it wasn't cheap, all right? I thought, praise God, one day when we get to glory, the walls, one foundation of the walls will be completely sapphire, more colorful than the colors of a beautiful rainbow. But you know what's best of all, I think? Not best of all, but at least is way up there about heaven. I'm not going to have to pay any more light bills. Can I get a witness? Thanks be to God. Isn't that going to be wonderful? No more electricity. Hey, there's no need for the night. There's no need for the moon. There's no need for the sun. Jesus is the light of the world. We're going to worship Him throughout all eternity in this city that lieth four square, 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles. Oh, that will be glory for me. When by His grace I shall look on His face, that's going to be glory for me. There's a fourth reason why you ought to rejoice in the Lord today. Why you ought to return, and I ought to return to our living God today. Why we ought to ask the Lord to reclaim the ground we've given over to the enemy right now. Why we ought to rededicate ourselves right now to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Why? The fourth stanza, if you'll notice. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. The first stanza, let earth receive her King. The Savior reigns. No more let sin and sorrows grow. How many are getting homesick for heaven? Oh, I heard about a little girl who never spent the night off. And she spent the night off with a friend. She was 5 years old. And the mama with a friend said, honey, the little girl was getting fidgety. She was all right as long as it was daytime, but the night began to fall and it got dark and the little girl got afraid and scared. And the mama of her friend said to the little girl, honey, are you homesick? And the little girl said, no, I'm not homesick. I'm here sick, all right? I'm here sick right now. How many are getting homesick for heaven? Come on, how many are getting home? I don't know about y'all. I've been standing by too many grave sides and seeing our precious loved ones, church family and friends taking on the glory, and it makes heaven a little bit sweeter. Somebody ought to say amen. Well, glory, glory, glory. You ought to think about how beautiful heaven is going to be. Last but not least, notice the last stanza of this hymn Isaac Watts wrote. And it says this. Look at it. He rules the world with truth and grace. He rules the world with truth and grace. I want you to take your Bibles and turn to the book of Revelation, Apocalypse, chapter 12. Look with me in chapter 12 of the book of Revelation. This is no doubt a picture of what's to take place and what has taken place and what will take place. Question. How many can remember seeing the Grinch that stole Christmas? Y'all remember that? I remember growing up as a boy seeing that Grinch that stole Christmas. I remember what he said. I hadn't seen it this year. I hadn't seen it in several years. But I remember seeing as a boy growing up, the Grinch. I must stop Christmas from coming. What can I do to stop Christmas from coming? I must stop Christian and Christmas. Yeah, you know what the devil's saying? I must stop those Christians from coming. I must stop those Christians from coming. Coming to church. I must stop those Christians from reading their Bible. That's what the devil's saying. I must stop those Christians from praying. I must stop those Christians from sharing their faith. The devil's got a strategy. Originally in the garden, it was a theocracy. God gave man authority, dominion. However, man, because of his sin, gave that authority to Satan. That's why it's called the prince of the power of the air. That's why it's called the roaring lion that walks about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. 1 Peter 5:8. When they gave that dominion to Satan, now the world, mind you, God is still sovereign, but God permits and allows Satan to have his sway. Now we call it a Satanocracy. In Revelation chapter 12, John is saying there's coming a new world order. Not the kind of world order that you're thinking about, but a new world order. And it was that dirty devil, it was that dragon, it was Satan. We'll see in a moment, ready to devour the woman. Who's the woman? What is this world order? Who's he talking about? Who is this man-child that's going to be born? Look at Revelation chapter 12. In Revelation 12, and there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars, and she being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads, 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his head, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, did cast him to the earth, and the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered. Why? To devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child. Really? Who was it? Who was to rule all the nations. Who's he talking about? With a rod of iron. We've read that before. And her child was caught up under God into his throne. The woman fled into the wilderness where she hath a place prepared of God. They should feed her there 1,260 days. Simply put, most Bible scholars agree this is none other than a picture of Satan. As Israel, the mother, is getting ready to birth this child, namely, let us come and adore him, the Savior of the world. I believe, beloved, today, Christmas is a time to rededicate ourselves to the Lord. The devil has been busily. You see, the devil, he wants to keep you in a state of guilt for the things you and I have done in the past. I'm glad there's still power in the blood of the Lamb. I'm glad, praise God, you can be free today. You can be forgiven today. You don't have to be under condemnation, because God says there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. But Satan knows, watch this. Satan knows how to get you ineffective and me ineffective as a Christian. If he can just get you guilty, if he can just get you out of the will of God, if he can just get you and wreck your testimony, he has got you. Can I tell you this in closing? How many believe the devil's real? Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her king. He rules the world with peace, with truth and grace. I was praying out at the Family Life Center some months ago. A young man showed up on Sunday night. This young man's not a member of the church, but he's very troubled. Very, very disturbed and deranged in his mind. The devil's played havoc on him. Done his dirty work in his life. And he showed up on Sunday night. Everybody else left. He showed up. Pastor, can you help me? Pastor, I need some help. I'm thinking about doing this and thinking about doing this, and I'm hearing voices. And anybody hearing voices these days? Anybody hearing voices these days? He said, I'm hearing voices. And so I recognize we're in spiritual warfare, and I recognize it's Sunday night, and Sunday's been a long day and a great day, but it's way up in the wee hours. It's 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock. And I said, let's pray, and began to share with him how the devil had sowed his dirty seeds in his life, how he needed to reclaim the ground from the enemy, but he had to take a stand in the name of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus, and by the word of God. And listen, God be my witness. As we got down to pray, I said, I want to pray, and then I want you to pray. I want you to reject the lies of the devil. I want you to ask God to reclaim the ground. He said he was saved. I shared with him how to be saved. And he said he'd been saved, but he just lost some ground. And so I said, all right, I'm going to pray. It's about 1 o'clock at night. I got down on my knees. He got down on his knees. I don't know this man. Not very well. I'd been to his house, visiting out in the community, but I didn't know him that well. He's deranged. I mean, when the devil's got a hold of somebody, boy, I tell you, it's serious business. I got down to pray. He got down right within arm's distance. God been my witness. When I started praying, Father, in the name of Jesus, release your power. Lord, reject and rebuke the devil in the name of Jesus by the blood of the Lamb. Lord, bring this man into freedom. Break the strongholds of the enemy. Tear down the generational sins and begin to cry out to God for God to break through to his heart. God be my witness. The lights went out. I'm praying on the floor. He's right there by me. And I'm praying, it's pitch black dark. All of a sudden, the lights cut out. Unexpectedly. I'm still praying, but I'm opening my eyes. And I said, Lord, I know the enemy is at work. I sensed the enemy was working. The devil wasn't happy about getting people free from the traps of Satan and demon forces. So I did the only thing that God gave me grace to do, and I just kept praying. Oh, God, please, in the name of Jesus, Father God, fight this battle. Win the war. You've won the battle. You've won the war. God, give grace. Break the strongholds of Satan upon this man's life. We prayed. Only thing I know to do is keep praying. Amen. An hour went by, 2 hours. Y'all believe me? And finally, the lights came back on. I was glad, happy. And then we stayed for another 2 hours. It was 5:00 in the morning. We were standing out there in the parking lot, still talking and praying. I said all that to say this. He rules the world with truth and grace. And what's that last phrase say? And makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness and wonders of his love and wonders of his love. And wonders of his love. Today, will you rejoice? Will you return? Will you rededicate your life to the Lord? Some of us have gotten slack, hadn't we? I love you, but I got to tell you the truth. You kind of gotten slack. Maybe about your church attendance, Sunday school, reading your Bible, praying. These aren't legalistic measures. This just helps us stay in fellowship with God. It's a love relationship because of who I am in Christ. These are my daily disciplines that I might be walking in the Spirit, not living according to the flesh. He rules the world. Joy to the world. What about this Christmas? Let's rededicate ourselves to the Lord. Loving memory of Sister Joyce Cooper. And for the glory and praise of our living God, would you stand together?